page 49, item 23, Moby Dick by Herman Melville, as dramatized for radio by John Bethune, starring John Draney as Ishmael and Lorne Greene as Captain Ahab, produced and directed by Andrew Allen, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Lucio Agostini. Melville's Moby Dick. Some years ago, having little or no money in my purse and nothing particular to interest me on shore, I thought I would sail about a little and see the watery part of the world. It's a way I have of driving off the spleen and regulating the circulation. Whenever I find myself growing grim about the mouth, whenever it is a damp, drizzly November in my soul, then I account it high time to get to sea as soon as I can. I stuff a shirt or two into my old carpet bag, tuck it under my arm, and start for the Pacific or Cape Horn or Java Head. And that's how, one fine winter's day, I found myself in Nantucket, standing on the quarterdeck of the whaling ship Pequod. Is this the captain of the Pequod?
And supposing it be the captain of the Pequod?
I was thinking of shipping.
Dost know anything of whaling?
I've been several voyages with the merchant service, so I...
Merchant service be damned. Has ever clapped eye on Captain Ahab?
Who is Captain Ahab, sir?
The captain of this ship.
Oh, I thought I was speaking to the captain.
Now, I'm speaking to the owner, young man. Headache is my name.
I beg your pardon.
If thou wouldst know what whaling is, clap eye on Captain Ahab. Thou'lt find he has only one leg, young man. And dost know what happened to t'other? It was devoured, chewed up, crunched off at the knee.
By a whale?
Aye, by a whale. By the most monstrous barmacity that ever stove a boat. That's what whaling is, young man.
I see.
Dost still feel inclined for it?
Yes, sir, I do.
Art thou the man to pitch a harpoon down a live whale's throat and then jump after it?
I am, sir, if it be absolutely indispensable to do so.
Good. What name art thou called?
Call me Ishmael. At the period of my arrival in Nantucket, the storage of the Pequod had been almost completed, so I had but little time to wait before word was given out that the ship would sail on Christmas Day. I shall not soon forget that gray, imperfect, misty morning. I had taken an early start from my inn, so it was barely 6 o'clock when I drew nigh the wharf. At first I thought it deserted, but as I made my way along the piles of casks and fishing nets and coils of rope,
morning to you, shipmate.
Oh, good morning.
Sharp cost this morning, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Where are you bound, shipmate?
For the Pequod, down at the end there.
The Pequod, eh? Going aboard?
Yes, we're sailing today.
You've signed the articles?
Yes.
Shipmate, anything down there about your soul?
My what?
Your soul, shipmate. Oh, perhaps you haven't got one. There's many have been better off for it. A soul's a sort of fifth wheel to a wagon.
Look, shipmate,
have you seen Captain Ahab yet?
No, I haven't.
What did they tell you about him, eh?
Why, nothing much. Only that he's a good whale hunter and a good captain to his crew.
Did they tell you nothing more? Nothing of the thing that happened to him off Cape Horn when he lay like dead for 3 days and nights? Nothing about that deadly scrimmage with the Spaniard in Santa for the altar?
Well, why... No.
Nothing about the silver calabash he spat into? Nothing about him losing his leg last voyage?
Well, I did hear he'd lost a leg.
Ah, he heard about that, I dare say. But did you hear all about it, eh?
Only that a whale took it off. Look, who are you anyway?
My name is Elijah, shipmate.
Elijah?
Right. Look there, shipmate.
Eh?
There, through the mist. Do you see anything going toward the Pequod?
You mean those sailors?
Aye, those sailors.
How many are there, eh?
Well, I can't see very clearly. Four or five, I guess.
Four or five. See if he can find them on board, shipmate. See if he can find them on board.
Well, Mr. Starbuck, I'll say goodbye. But this day in 3 years, I'll have a hot supper smoking for thee in old Nantucket.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Peleg, before you go, there's just one thing.
I am.
Captain Mayhap, sir. Is he sick?
Sick? No, I don't think so. I spoke to him just now.
And why does he stay below in his cabin?
I don't know, Mr. Starbuck. He's a queer man, is Captain Ahab.
He is indeed, sir.
But I'll thank him well enough, no fear. Ahab's above the common, Mr. Starbuck. He's been in colleges as well as among the cannibals. Been used to deeper wonders on the waves. Fetched his fiery lance in mightier stranger foes on whales. Aye, he's Ahab. And Ahab, behold, thou knowest, was crowned a king.
Aye, a very vile one. When he was slain, the dogs licked his blood.
Look thee, Mr. Starbuck. Never say that aboard the Pequod, even if thou art chief mate. Captain Ahab's a good man. I know him well. Not a pious good man, but a swearing good man.
He's that all right.
Aye. Now, I know that since he lost his leg last voyage, he's been kind of moody. But let me tell thee, Mr. Starbuck, it's better to sail with a moody good captain than a laughing bad one.
I hope you're right, sir. I hope you're right.
Outward bound, through biting polar weather, then southwards toward the Cape of Good Hope. For the first few days after leaving Nantucket, nothing above hatches was seen of Captain Ahab. And to all intents, the Pequod was commanded by her mates, Starbuck, Stubb, and Flask. This in itself may not have been extraordinary, but as time went by, my natural curiosity concerning our unknown captain gave way to a vague uneasiness. I remember, too, my meeting with old Elijah, and his incoherent warning seemed strangely heightened now in the seclusion of the sea. At length, I began to make inquiries among the motley set of renegades and savages which comprised the Pequod's crew.
Don't worry, lad. You'll meet him soon enough for your lodging.
Aye, step and growl and go. So would Captain Ahab.
Well, what does he look like, Archie?
Couldn't say, lad. Haven't seen him yet. But I've heard that he's old and has a long scar running down his face. And wears a wooden leg.
Not wooden, Archie. It's an ivory leg.
White ivory. Carved from a sperm whale's jaw.
How do you know that? Have you seen him?
No, but I've heard plenty.
So have I.
But hasn't anyone seen him, except the mates?
Me see him.
You have, Quick. Where?
On quarter deck. Him stand by rail. Me up masthead. Me and Dago and Tashkego.
Did he say anything to you?
Him say, look for white whale.
White whale? I thought whales were black.
So they are, lad, most of them. But there's one white brute they tell of. Been seen all over the world. Off Japan, round the Horn, Indian Ocean, everywhere. Moby Dick, they call it.
All hands left. The lads there below. All hands left.
What's the matter, mate? What's happened?
I don't know. Captain's orders. All hands left.
What's up there?
Captain's orders.
All hands left.
Aye, old Ahab's coming to hide. Come on, lad. We'll see him now, right enough. Here he comes.
Good Lord.
Men, what do you do when you see a whale?
Hang out for him.
Good. And what do you do next, men?
Lower away and up for him.
And what tune is it you pull to, men?
God hunt us all.
one of that crew. My shouts had gone up with the rest. My oath had been welded with theirs. And stronger I shouted, and more did I hammer and clinch my oath, because of the dread in my soul. That Ahab was mad, I had small reason to doubt. Since the loss of his leg, he had cherished a fierce and growing vindictiveness against Moby Dick. Until now, the white whale swam before him as the incarnation of all that most maddens and torments. All the subtle demonisms of life and thought, all truth with malice in it, all evil, were visibly personified in Moby Dick, and thus made physically assailable. Yes, Captain Ahab was mad. Yet the very fury of his madness drew from us all a mystic response. A wild, sympathetical feeling was in us. Ahab's quenchless feud seemed ours. Only Mr. Starbuck stood alone.
Oh, God, to sail with such a heathen crew, whelped somewhere by the sharkish sea. The white whale is their demigorgon. My soul is more than matched. She's overmanned, and by a madman. Yet I must obey, rebelling. And worse yet, hate with touch of pity. For in Ahab's eyes I read some lurid woe would shrivel me up had I it. Still there's hope. The hated whale has all the watery world to swim in. God may wedge aside our heaven-insulting purpose. Stand by me, hold me, bind me. Oh, ye blessed influences.
Southward ho! And ice and icebergs all astern, the Pequod now went rolling through the bright Quito spring, which at sea perpetually reigns on the threshold of the tropics. For sleeping man, 'twas hard to choose between the starred and stately nights and the warmly cool, clear, perfumed days. And yet, for all the witcheries of such unwaning skies, a nameless tension charged the crew. There was talk of omens, and strange weather signs, and mysterious sounds at night.
But I tell you, Nat, I heard it distinctly.
Where?
On the quarterdeck. It seemed to come from under the hatch.
You're dreaming, aren't you?
First there was a sort of cough, and then a noise like two or three sleepers turning over.
The three ship's biscuits you had supper turning over inside you.
Or I'd laugh, but I tell you, there's somebody down in that afterhold. Somebody that's not been seen on deck.
But how could anyone stow away all this time?
I don't know, Nat, but I've a feeling old Ahab does. He's a strange man. Look at him there at the rail, staring into the sunset. What do you suppose he's thinking, eh? What do you suppose he's thinking?
I leave a white and turbid wake, pale waters, paler cheeks where'er I sail. The envious billows sidelong swell to whelm my track. Let 'em. But first I pass. Time was when as the sunrise nobly spurred me, so the sunset soothed. No more. This lovely light, it lights not me. Damned, most subtly and malignantly, damned in the midst of paradise. They think me mad. Aye, Starbuck does. But I'm demoniac. I'm madness maddened. That wild madness that's only calm to comprehend. What I've dared, I've willed, and what I've willed, I'll do, not consider.
swerve me. The path to my fixed purpose is laid with iron rails whereon my soul is grooved to run. Come, ye great gods, come forth and swerve me if you can.
Where do you suppose we are, Matt?
Well, we're south of St. Helena on the Carroll ground, I reckon.
Listen! What's that?
The masthead! He spotted a whale! Look! He's pointing!
Up, helm! Keep her away from the wind! Mr. Starbuck, stand by the law!
Aye, aye, sir!
Whose boat are you in, lad?
Starbucks. Not today. I'm keeping ship.
Good, so am I. Come on, we'll watch from the foretop.
Wait. Nat, look there. Who the devil is that?
Eh?
That yellow man in the turban, standing there by Ahab. See him?
Well, I'll be blown. The Parsee. Where'd he come from?
Out of the afterhold. Look. Why, there's more of them. Two, four, five
stories. By heaven, old Archie was right. Archie blows!
Is it Moby Dick?
No, not Moby Dick. But it's a sperm whale, all right. You think he's seen us? No, not yet. He'll dive as soon as he does. Blast, there he goes. There go Flukes!
Have we lost him?
No, he'll be up again in a minute. Unless he's making a regular sounding, and he may stay down for an hour.
Here come the boats.
Step out ahead. No, there's another one.
Where?
Putting it on the stern.
Oh, looks like Captain Ahab.
It is. And by heaven, look who's rowing him.
The stowaways.
I led the stowaways. The spy whaleboat. So that's his game.
Game?
The owners won't risk a captain in a whaleboat during the chase, especially if he's only one leg. So they don't assign him a regular boat crew. But old Ahab sworn to get Moby Dick for himself. So he's brought along his own private oarsmen without the owners knowing.
Who are they, Nat?
East Indians. Parsees, I reckon. They may look devils, too, but by thunder they can row.
What's Ahab pointing at?
The whale. See that patch of vapor? Head steps both, huh? Whale swimming there. Just under the...
There she breaches! Stubs right on him! Pull, you dogs! Pull!
There's Chico standing up. He's aiming the iron.
Give it to him, Cash. Give it to him.
Why doesn't he throw it?
They're not close enough yet. Double tells him.
There it goes.
He's got him. Right behind the fin. See the iron sticking up? Well done, Cash boy. Yeah, well done, you heathen savage. That's Bob the Brute.
Great heaven. Look at it wallow. It's gone crazy.
Watch out for the tail. Watch out for... God, that was close. Another foot, and he'd have smashed him to pieces.
He's slowing down, isn't he?
Aye. Pull alongside now and use the lance. See? Stubb and Tash change places.
Haul in, you dogs.
Oh, they've swung round. I can't see.
Stubb's driving the lance into him.
Strike his heart,
huh?
Once. Twice.
There! He found it!
Good Lord, Nat. The whale's spouting blood.
Aye, that drove the spigot out of him. Watch out for the furry. Stand clear, you fools.
God, Nat. The blood. He's streaming blood like a fountain. He's in agony.
Hey, cheer up, lad. You'll get hardened to it. You'll see worse things than blood before this voyage is done.
By noon next day, the intricate business of cutting in had been completed, and the huge, peeled, headless body of Stubb's whale floated slowly away on the tide. All morning we had toiled, stripping the vast blanket of blubber and storing it away below hatches. Carefully severing the massive head, and suspending it by chains against the Pequod's hull. There was still a great deal to be done. The precious sperm had yet to be tapped from the monster's brow and the ivory teeth extracted. But now it was noon. The men were below at dinner. The great hooks and tackles still. And silence reigned on the deck. Only Captain Ahab remained, leaning over the taffrail, staring down at the gigantic black head which hung halfway out of the sea.
Speak, our vast and venerable head. Speak, and tell us the secret thing that is in thee. Of all divers, thou hast dived the deepest. That head upon which the upper sun now gleams has moved amid the world's foundations, where unrecorded names and navies rust, and untold hopes and anchors rot, where in her murderous hold this frigate Earth is ballasted with bones of millions of the drowned. There, in that awful waterland, there was thy most familiar home. High head. Hast seen enough to split the planets and make an infidel of Abraham, and not one syllable is thine. Aye, well, now that's cheering. Where away? Up helm there. Stand by to hail.
Relentlessly, the Pequod headed her course. Through howling winds round the Cape of Good Hope, then northeastward under easy sail toward the Straits of Sunda and Java Head. Days passed. Weeks. A fantastic procession of booming sails and reeling decks, of shouted orders and aching backs, of whaleboats drenched with the clotted gore of stricken whales, and always the mingled stench of blubber and tar and oil and blood. As Nat predicted, I grew hardened to it. But as time went by, another, more subtle horror possessed me. At first, I believed I was alone in my apprehensions. But one middle watch in the Javan Sea, I heard two of the mates discussing it.
I don't like it, Stubb. I don't like it at all.
What's the trouble, Mr. Flask?
That yellow Parsi the old man smuggled aboard. The ugly one with the turban.
You mean Fadala?
Aye, Gala. You know what he is?
Some kind of oriental mystic, I'd say.
Worse than that, Stubb, worse than that. You ever noticed his eyes? Like a snake with a death grip in them.
Aye, he's a sinister-looking dog, right enough. Wonder why the old man has so much to do with him. They were apart, those two. Dollar haunts Ahab like his shadow.
Like its evil spirit, you mean. That Parsi's a devil of some sort, Stubb. And Ahab's in his power.
Flask. No one controls old Ahab.
The devil does, Stubb. And I tell you, Fadella's the devil. He's Beelzebub in disguise. And even God doesn't know what hellish work he does.
Thank you.
decade, sir, on smoothing out the seams.
Smoothing out the seams, eh? Would you could smooth the seams in this brow of mine. Aye, gladly would I lay my head on the anvil and feel the heaviest hammer between my eyes. But enough. I have work for you, blacksmith. I want a harpoon to be made. One that a thousand yoke of fiends can't part. Something that will stick in a whale like his own fin bone. Canst forge me such an iron?
Aye, sir. I think I can.
Good. Adala, give me the stuff.
Yes, my captain.
Here you are, blacksmith, gathered from the shoes of racing horses.
Nail stuff. Lord, sir, this is the toughest stuff we blacksmiths work.
I know it. These stubs will weld together like glue from the melted bones of murderers. And here, for the barbs, my razors.
Razors?
Aye, the best of steel. The barbs must be sharp as the needles sleek of the icy sea. They must be of the true death temper.
But, Captain, your razors...
Go on, take them, man. I've no need for them now. I neither shave, nor sup, nor pray till I meet Moby Dick. Well, Bedella, what think ye? With a fair wind, we'll see the Pacific tomorrow.
Yes, Captain. The final waters.
Final waters? What mean ye by that?
The white whale swims in the great South Sea, and it shall come to pass.
Who is it?
Starboard, sir. We're that bad news.
All right, come in.
Well, the oil in the main hold is leaking, sir. Left to heave to and break out the casks.
Heave to and break out? If you'd taken leave of your senses, we'd lose a week.
It's either that, sir, or lose more oil in one day than we may make good in a year.
Don't be a fool, man. We'll be in the Pacific tomorrow.
I realize that, sir. Surely what would come 20,000 miles to get is worth saving.
Aye. So it is, Starbuck. So it is. If we get it.
I was speaking of the oil, sir.
And I was not speaking of the oil. Let it leak, Starbuck. I'll not heave to for 50 leaking casks.
What will the owners say?
Owners, owners! Let the owners stand on Nantucket Beach and I'll tell the typhoons. Confound it, Starbuck. Like you always prate to me of these miserly owners, as if the owners were my conscience. Begone, sir. On deck.
But, sir.
Last year, man, get out of my sight on deck.
One moment, Captain Mayhap. I'm not used to being spoken to in that manner.
Avast. On deck, I say.
Must I remind you that I'm your chief officer, sir?
Devils, men. There is one god that is lord over the earth, and one captain that's lord over the Bigfoot. On deck.
By heaven, sir, if you were a younger and happier
man. Just dare to threaten me, Starbuck.
No, sir. Outraged, not insulted. For that, there's no cause to beware of me. But this I'll say, let Ahab beware of Ahab. Beware of yourself, old man. Beware of yourself.
What's that he said? Ahab, beware of Ahab. Della, what think ye?
Have I not said, my captain, that ere thou could die, thou must first see two horses afloat on the ocean.
Aye.
The first not made by mortal hand. The second of wood that must be grown in America. Till they be seen, thou canst not die.
Aye. Aye. Then it follows I must be immortal.
Immortal, my captain?
Aye. Two horses afloat in the ocean is a sight we'll not soon see, Bedella. But what was the saying about myself?
Though it come to the last,
I shall still go before thee, thy pilot.
And when ye so gone before, then ere I can follow, ye must still appear to pilot me. Was it not so?
It was so, my captain.
Well, then, I've heard two pledges that I shall yet slay Moby Dick and survive it.
Take another pledge, my captain. Hemp only can kill thee.
Hemp only. The gallows, you mean? Then I must be immortal on sea and on land. Aye, Padella, on sea and on land, I'm immortal.
Mr. Stump, ahoy there, Mr. Stump. What's happened for us? Are we stripped?
High toss there. The first class got the topsail and the jib hanging by a ribbon.
We're heading for trouble, Stump.
I'm afraid so. I reckon there's what we can do.
Of course we can do.
Are you blind, man? Look yonder.
Hey.
The windward. There. Can't you see where this gale is coming from?
East, southeast, I say.
East, southeast. The very course for the run for Moby Dick. The old man said it himself. Now look to leeward. God's home, Stump. See how it lightens up there? We can turn this gale into a fair wind that would drive us to Nantucket. Our course worth set by a madman.
The mast! Look aloft! The masts are on fire!
The masts are burning!
The mast there! What craven noise is this?
We've been stripped her! Look aloft! The masts are on fire!
The lightning rods! Drop them over! Silence, you fools! We've not been struck. Have you never seen the corpuses before?
The corpuses
in Elmo's light. Look up at it, men. Mark it well. A white flame but lights the way to the white whale.
It's an omen, sir, and an ill one. God is against us.
Leap up, thou spirit of fire. Leap up, I say, and lick the sky.
In God's name, forbear, sir. Let us square the odds and holds.
Square the odds.
Aye, it's an ill voyage, sir. Ill begun and ill continued. Let's make a fair wind of it homeward while we may.
Square in for home. With the braces. Square in.
Stand back. Stand back, kid. On a hell. You see this harpoon? It scuttles the first dog that touches a rope. Stand back. To hunt Moby Dick to his death. Did ye not swear?
Aye,
so did I. My heart and soul and body and lungs and life am I bound. And I'll not strike stars for any gale till Moby Dick spouts at last and wallows in his blood.
Mayhap, sir.
Well, Mr. Starbuck.
We've gone down and shifted, sir. I think we're out of the worst of it.
Good. Have you set new sails?
Aye, sir. Fore and main top. She heads her course.
Which way? East, southeast, sir.
East, southeast. The grim Pequod rushed on. The rolling waves and days went by, and with each degree that we neared the equator, old Ahab's monomania intensified itself. At the first faint glimmer of dawn, his voice would be heard from aft.
Man the masthead!
And all through the day, till after sunset and after twilight, the same voice every hour at the striking of the helmsman's bell.
Off there! What do you see?
On and on we sailed, through seas so wearily, lonesomely mild, that all space seemed vacating itself of life before our vengeful prow. Then at last, as we crossed the line, a welcome cry rang out from aloft. Bearing down winder, a large whaling ship was descried, her masts and spars thickly clustered with men. She was the Rachel of Nantucket, searching for a whaleboat she had lost in a chase the day before.
I'm sorry, Captain Gardner, I can't help you.
But my own son is in that boat. For God's sake, Captain Ahab, I beg you, I conjure you, let me charter your ship for 8 and 40 hours. I'll gladly pay for it. Anything you ask. And for only 8 and 40 hours. In God's name, say yes, sir. I implore you.
No, Captain Gardner, I'll not do it. Even now I lose time.
But my son. My own son.
Goodbye, Captain Gardner. God bless you, man, and I hope you find him. May I forgive myself, but I must go. Mr. Starbuck,
sir,
look at the binnacle watch, and in 3 minutes warn off all strangers. Then brace for it again and sail as before.
Look there. The windlass there. A Moby Dick! Moby Dick!
He's heading to leeward, sir. He can't have seen us yet.
Come there. Love a point. Miss Harbour, sir. Remember what I said. Stay on board and keep the ship.
Aye, aye, sir. All ready, sir.
Stand by the lower.
Stand by the lower.
At last. Moby Dick. I caught my heart at last. Answer me, man. Who's missing? Only one, sir. Fadala.
Fadala.
No. No.
Lie.
He must have been caught in the line, sir, when the boat was smashed.
The Black Marmot wrench you. Run, fool, up below cabin. Folks will find him.
It's no use, sir. We've already searched the ship. He's gone.
In Ahab's boat.
Oh?
There's no stomach for it, Nat. Not until yesterday. God, the way he charged Stubb's boat. And that hideous jaw. Moby Dick's a killer, Nat. It's suicide to hunt him.
Here comes the old man.
Well, up there. What do you see?
Nothing, sir!
Nothing. No end. He travels faster than I thought for.
Turn up all hands and make sail. Helm there. Steady as you go.
Aye, aye, sir.
He said, and he should still go before me, my pilot, and yet be seen again. But where? At the bottom of the sea? Oh, hemp only can kill me. And first I must see two hulls afloat.
Straight at us, the whale!
Yeah.
He's on the whale!
not pull? Will you not save my ship?
It's hopeless, sir. She's sinking with all hands.
The second Urs. My ship. The second Urs. It's what could only be American. My ship. The second Urs.
After her missing children, she only found another orphan afloat on a dirge-like Maine. And even as her sail appeared, my eyes were turned to the still-yawning gulf of the Pequod's grave. Small fowls flew screaming over it. A sullen white surf beat against its side. Then all collapsed. And the great shroud of the sea rolled on as it rolled 5,000 years ago.
Elwood Glover speaking. This is the Trans-Canada Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.